You won't miss a beat the entire month of August when you follow all of the football news leading up to the preseason games right here on 92.3 The Fan and the Odyssey app. It's presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator, and you can find out how online at T-Mobile.com/switch.
He's Jeff Phelps. I am Andy Baskin. Great to have you on board today. We'll be heading out to Berea at some point here to hear what the players have to say, and we'll also be hearing from the head coach, Kevin Stefanski, who talked yesterday. So we're going to talk a little bit more about what's going on with the Browns. We'll do that here in this hour. Za'Darius Smith had some things to say yesterday, too. And I was kind of like, wow, man. When he walks in the room, you know he walks into the room. So very cool. And he had a really press conferences are press conferences, but I thought his was really good yesterday. Tim May joins us at noon. Scott Petrak at 1 o'clock. Jeff, let's kind of digest what's going on at the Olympics right now. Your thoughts from what you watched over the weekend, because I saw a lot of stuff this weekend. And I'm just curious, you know, what you thought. Noah Lyles winning the 100 yesterday, I thought probably one of the best races I've ever seen. It was so close.
It was a really cool 100 meters. The delay at the start of it, I wonder if that affected anybody. Noah Lyles is vibrant in his personality. And the one thing if you've not seen him, like he comes out and walks, you know, out of the whatever it is, you know, because now you have to everybody makes their big grand
entrance.
By the way,
let me just ask you that. I love that.
Yeah, I know you would.
I love the fact that they make it. It's I don't know.
There's
it's
a
WWE.
Stunner.
By the way, everyone had a good time on Saturday, from what I heard.
Nice. Everybody
I talked to yesterday at Browns had a fantastic time.
Oh, okay.
Then again, one of them maybe works for the company too, but not our company, but their company.
Yeah, could have been.
And used to work here, but.
Hi, Vic.
Yes. I love that. Like, what they did, like, with the lights on the track before they came out, I thought it was just really cool.
That's great.
I like the way they staged it.
Good.
So there's no difference between that and an NBA game or anything else we watch, or guys coming through smoke.
No, that's at a football game. I'm not fine. Whatever they want to do. I like the events. It was fun to watch. I thought Oblique Seville from Jamaica might do something after beating Noah Lyles in the heat, but he didn't. His brother Quadricep wasn't real happy about that.
Hmm. You're a goofball, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thought about that one all weekend. can I throw this thought at you? There were a couple of things that happened at the Olympics over the weekend that I thought were really interesting. Number one, Simone Biles. Is, you know, she's phenomenal, and Suni Lee, two of the female gymnasts. Suni Lee is still pretty young. So Simone Biles is 27, and she said something. Katie Ledecky is also 27, and Katie's premier United States swimmer, and Biles premier United States gymnast. Biles said this: "Could you guys quit in talking about the post race reporters?" Either, you know, like for NBC or other people or in press conferences, can you quit asking us about our future? We just trained for 4 years to try and win an Olympic medal, and we just won an Olympic medal, and you're asking me what's next. I couldn't agree with her more. That was a very astute comment. I mean, you just, a culmination of, in some cases, Andy, a lifetime of training. You know, for her, it's bouncing back from, you know, what happened in the last games in Tokyo. And people are asking about what's next. She said, we want to enjoy this moment. Let's not worry about what's next. Let's worry about what we just did. Way to go, Simone Biles.
Well, this is what I was talking about. Because somebody told me one of those big box hardware stores already has Halloween stuff out. I saw that. And this is what we talked about in the open, Jeff. We talked about trying to advance
things.
That's
what you talked about, where I nodded my head at you like, oh, my God, Andy's talking about Halloween.
Let's get back to sports. but it's the same thing.
James,
it's exactly the same thing.
Do I sound like that?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't think I did. I'll be damned.
It's the dirtiest word you've ever used in your life. It's this whole notion of not living for the moment. Don't live where your feet are, right?
Yeah.
How many times you're a great athlete go, you know what, I'm living for the moment where my feet are right now. I can't worry about tomorrow. I need to worry about where I am right now. And I love the fact that Biles said it too, but I would also like the fact that
Do you agree? I think she's right on the money.
Well, you know, Kansas City wins the Super Bowl, right? What's the first? Three-peat!
Yeah.
Stop. You just won the Super Bowl. Stop. Come live in Cleveland where we have one championship in my lifetime. Stop. Enjoy it. Enjoy the moment.
By the way, you know what else I hate?
What else does Jeff Phelps
hate? When reporters, sideline reporters, you know, regardless of the sport. Thank you, James. Now go celebrate with your teammates. Don't tell them what to do. They can do whatever they, you know what they want. Go celebrate now. I'm done with you. Goodbye. Stop that.
I'm going to leave it at this because there was a really awkward interview that I saw yesterday. I know you didn't see it. I know we've talked about this. I'm just saying, if you like the genre that they have on Peacock, because every time I watch it, it gets funnier. Kevin Hart and Kenan Thompson are doing this late night post show, and they did an interview with Maria Taylor, the late night host at NBC. Probably one of the most awkward interviews I've ever seen. I've never seen a reporter in that situation with two people on the desk. I'll leave it at that. I can't wait till Jeff watches this. I was talking to Lima. Lima's watching this tomorrow too. And I was shocked when I went to social media and no one was saying anything about it. Please go back and watch Maria Taylor's interview on the Olympic Highlights show with Kenan Thompson and Kevin Hart.
Not only
and then
she,
I want to hear from you.
I want to see that because you said some things about it. I'll leave it at that.
Unbelievable.
I'll say this. I think she's really good. I think she does a really nice job hosting. I hope what you told me doesn't change my opinion.
I'll give you my opinion. I really don't like her now after watching that interview.
She's really good.
There are times when you...
And she's quite fetching.
When you break down walls in here and tell people what are going on behind the curtain, she was just... I'm just telling you, go watch it.
Yep.
So that was one of the other things that we saw.
I think she's really good.
Jeff, of the other things that happened at the...
There's one other thing.
Go ahead.
I must tell you, I don't think I've ever seen this word before. And is it ripochage? Whatever that
ripochet.
Is.
I think it's ripochet.
Is that what it is?
Okay. I didn't know what it was until this weekend.
Okay.
And it's basically... go ahead. You can explain if you want to.
It's a new rule that's been passed in track and field, and not in every event. There are certain events that it isn't in. And in layman's terms, as it was described in the article I wrote, it's a mulligan.
It's a second chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you explained it well, which is kind of like a wrestle back in a wrestling tournament.
You get knocked out once,
but you come back.
Right.
So with that thought in mind, a United States sprinter, Freddie Crittenden, which, by the way, is a great name, Freddie Crittenden. Wasn't it Colonel Crittenden on Hogan's Heroes? Anyhow.
I think there's a Crittenden
Freddie's,
on the campus at Ohio State, too.
Freddie's a 110-meter hurdler. And he said on Saturday, something happened, and he went to the training staff, and he said it wasn't actually an injury, but they said, be careful about this because it could become an injury. And he had his heat, 110-meter hurdle, coming up. And he went out and made the strategic decision, okay, I'm not going to try. And he finished dead last because he planned to. And he finished like 6 seconds behind the leaders or something like that.
Hmm.
And... he says he had a little aggravation in my abductor for my pre-meet. And he went to the medical staff and all. And the plan was to come here, get through the round. As long as I didn't get disqualified or hit any hurdles, the idea was that I could get through and get another opportunity in the repêché round.
I think that's nice, what it is. If
nicely,
I'm wrong.
Nicely done by you.
Well, I was trying to figure out what it was when I was watching. I think it was for the women's 1500.
So he said, I just wanted to get here, make sure I didn't make anything worse, and give it everything I have on Tuesday. And he ran it in like 6 seconds slower than everybody else, 5 seconds behind the heat winner. And he ran it in 18.27 seconds. So it was like a jog for him. And people are like, what the hey is going on here? And it's a really interesting thing. I I can't say it's good or bad. I can say it's a smart move by Freddie. If he thought he was going to pull something, yank something, be unable to compete at his best in that race, and then not be able to come back in the repêché and get the second chance at it, I think that's kind of fascinating. You know, no ill thoughts about his strategy on that. You put a rule in, great. Guys are allowed to use it. Good for him.
I'm still like,
I thought that was really cool. And now my fingers are crossed that he lights it up on Tuesday. But he has, if in fact he gets to the finals, he's going to have to race Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Hmm. As I walked away from this weekend too, the wait before the 100 to me was ridiculous.
That was tough. You know, they're down on the blocks.
Normally you get to the blocks, you stand, and then I also I watched Saturday morning. I watched the qualifiers, and then I watched the actual the semis in the 100. I sat and watched all that stuff on Saturday morning. I think I was up at 5 in the morning or whatever. And I'm fascinated by all that stuff. The race that really just caught my eye this weekend, though, was the mixed 4x4. And
is kind of cool, isn't it?
I love. Well, it's interesting because you see it in swimming too, right?
Yeah.
So you get in swimming, you get it in track, and Kaylin Brown was on the last leg. So, you know, 4x4, you're running one lap.
She's just 19.
Yeah, two men, two women, and
they raced it men against men, women against women, which they didn't do in swimming.
Yeah, you could do whatever you wanted.
You can mix it up. Yeah.
Yeah. And Kaylin came flying out for the first 200 meters. And she was there, and Tropical Storm, who runs track, looked at me and he goes, "Dad, she's going to run out of gas at the end." And I'm like, "What do you mean?" And I'm watching her. Now she's through 300, and the announcers are going, "You know, she did it as a dead sprint
in
the semi."
Yeah, she had a big lead.
And then all of a sudden, in the last, last 20 meters,
it was about 20.
The Netherlands just
blew her doors off.
Because the girl from the Netherlands, hit that final turn, so when they would say down the stretch they come in a horse race, right? Same spot.
Are you equating women to horses?
No, I'm not. The track is a track, right?
Oh, okay.
The stretch is the stretch. It doesn't matter who's running on that. Why would you do that to me? Why are you such a miserable person that you would do that to me? You're so
to have you respond that way.
And then, boom, man, she goes from fourth to first, and it was one of the most incredible runs I've ever seen.
She was amazing.
It was
coming
so
down the
cool.
stretch. I felt really bad for
it was so cool.
for our American sprinter.
All right, I want to talk Browns because I also want to ask you if you saw any of them in the 100. Would you want? And I don't care who it was. It didn't have to be Noah Lyles. I'm looking at everybody running the 100 as a future kick returner in the NFL. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Tim May joins us at noon, Baskin and Phelps.
Ladies and gentlemen, Andy Baskin.
New one dropped yesterday.
Dropped.
If you want to listen, Daryl had other insight that I haven't heard on the air or anywhere else about the dome situation. So you want to go in and listen to it. Just some facts and figures and things that'll be like, what? So go ahead and take a listen to that. That dropped last night, so you definitely want to hear it. And then we'll have Daryl on later in the week, and we'll revisit some of the things that he talked about. An interesting week for all of that. So I was out at camp yesterday, and I kept thinking a little bit about the Olympics as well. And I was like, Jeff, would you want a guy like Noah Lyles, especially in this new – because I was watching them run the new kickoff yesterday. It's just so weird to see it live too. I'm sure a lot of you watched it in the Hall of Fame game, but to see it live, it's just everyone's frozen until the catch is made. And yesterday at camp, it kind of mirrored what we saw in the Hall of Fame game. So it's such a weird thing. And then it gets me to thinking, wouldn't you like to see, and I'm probably only saying this now because I'm caught up in the moment of the Olympics, but wouldn't it be kind of cool if one of those guys that, you know, the ran 100 yesterday could switch over? Now, they make a lot of money in Diamond League, so I don't know that they're about to want to jump over to the NFL just for the glory of playing in the NFL. Plus, last time I checked, and I'm just checking, there aren't too many concussions in track. Have you guys looked at that? Haven't seen a whole lot.
Not too many.
The injury is the same.
There's nobody to hit them.
Oh, that takes all the fun out of it, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be cool if they had competitive 100 where you could hit somebody, or somebody was coming the other way?
Sure. That'd be great.
Or what if they ran two 100s at the same time?
That'd be great, Andy.
And but you had to share the lane.
And boom, you had to avoid the guy coming at you?
Yeah.
Big game of chicken?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Head on.
Great idea, Andy.
Head on 100 is what you would call it, right?
Great idea.
Okay. Just bad idea. Do you think that could work? I mean, we talked about Ronaldo Nehemiah.
Skeets.
Yeah.
Anything can work. Is it likely to? No, it's not likely to.
I don't know if Noah Lyles would let himself do it either, because, you know, Mitch is in the booth too, and we were talking about this. Mitch said, hey, Mitch, Noah Lyles, help me set up this bite a little bit. So Noah Lyles was asked last year about what?
At the World Athletic Championships, his moment kind of went viral, in which he was either brought up or he was asked about, you know, how NBA teams, when they win the finals, okay, get considered the world champions, and these were his thoughts on the matter.
The thing that hurts me the most is that I have to watch the NBA finals and they have world champion on their head. World champion of what? The United States? Don't get me wrong. I love the U.S. at times, but that ain't the world. That is not the world. We are the world. We have almost every country out here fighting, thriving, putting on their flag to show that they are represented. There ain't no flags in the NBA.
I agree and disagree with him a little bit. Obviously, the NBA is the best league in the world, right?
It's hard to argue with that
and
one.
And do they not have the best players in the world?
Hard to argue with that, except they didn't beat anybody but themselves. Same thing with the world champion, Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't see him playing, you know,
baseball.
The Montreal Alouettes. Didn't see him taking on the Toronto Argonauts. I don't think the Argonauts are even around anymore.
Yeah, they were at camp yesterday.
Were they?
I saw somebody with Argonauts stuff on. Yeah. Yeah. I saw a Winnipeg Blue Bomber.
Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Yeah.
But, you know, where do they play pro football? Not very many places. The use of world champions, Noah Lyles is absolutely right. Even in baseball.
Again, you have the best players around the world playing.
It's not the World Series.
It is the World Series. They call it the World Series.
They call it that, but it's not like you're playing the team that won the Japanese League or the best team out of the Dominican.
Are the best players in Japan playing Major League Baseball?
Not necessarily.
Are the best basketball players in the world playing in the NBA?
Best players?
Yes. And if they're from all over the world, and they happen to play here.
He's correct, though, Andy. You're only playing in your own league. He's correct. I mean, in theory, they're probably going to beat everybody else in the world. But that's theory. It's not fact. So I love that guy, by the way. He's fun. When he comes out,
blew right through that introduction.
Well, and he sprints and then he jumps up and down. I always think, aren't you supposed to conserve your energy before a race? Instead, he just goes nuts and gets pumped.
It was good stuff. I don't know if it would work, but I do want to see how these new kickoffs work. And
it's not a real long list of guys who played in the NFL. Not a very successful list. There are a lot of guys, Summer Olympians, who played in the National Football League. Not a whole lot of them with great success.
I just want to go through some of the things.
Bob Hayes, probably the most accomplished football player of all of the great sprinters. Mm. And Gerald Tinker, former Kent Stater.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah.
Who did I? Puerto Rico had a guy from Kent State on there that played for the Puerto Rican basketball team. I'll find it in a break. I forgot who it was. But I was shocked because I was watching the game when they were playing them the other day, and they were like, oh, the Pride of Kent State. And then I was like, what? And then I this is really an old thing that I'm doing. Do you know what it is?
Chris Ortiz is the guy's name.
It was Chris Ortiz. That's right. I couldn't think of it that quick.
Good things Mitch is here today.
That is. Mitch, you're great, man. What, you ever want to just maybe sleep in the morning?
Be nice.
Come hang with us.
We'll take you. It's just, you know, when you look at the Olympics and you're looking at all the stuff that you're seeing and – it's interesting to think about those athletes maybe in another sport, because I know there's somebody had suggested on social media, so, you know, it'd be really fun is if you took the athletes from one sport and made them play another sport afterwards and came up with another. Okay, whatever. Yesterday at camp, because I was at camp yesterday, The one thing that stood out to me was Deshaun Watson. Like, Deshaun's not having any trouble throwing the ball. And I'm not, like, trying to talk about, you know, like, oh, he looked so great at camp. People are like, oh, how'd he look at camp? How'd he look? Well, first of all, they weren't in full pads yesterday. And so you can't really evaluate. But what you can see is the way a guy throws a football. And just watching Deshaun yesterday just look crisp, and there was zip on the ball, and it was accurate. And, you know, it looked like what you want your NFL quarterback to look like. There were no question marks in the way that he was throwing the ball yesterday. So if I give you one thing that I saw yesterday at camp, it's that I thought Deshaun looked right. Like, I thought he threw the ball well. For whatever that's worth, there's no pressure on him.
Yeah, no defenders, right?
And I understand all of that, and that's why I'm not over the top about everything. But just to be happy to see him throw the ball with just clarity, and it didn't look like he was struggling, and he wasn't coming back to his arm after he threw, and he just looked right. And that was the most optimistic thing I took out of camp yesterday.
Well, that's good. Hopefully, if he plays on Saturday against Green Bay, he looks just as good with other guys in other colors out there on the field trying to separate him from his shoulder pads.
I also want – I don't think he's going to play this week, but who knows? Kevin Stefanski was very, like – I'm not talking about that, basically. I mean, he wasn't rude about it. He was just kind of like –
We'll get to that when we get to that.
Yeah, we have a progression that we want to go through this week to make sure that he's ready to go. And, you know, if he plays in this first game against Green Bay this week, he doesn't. But, I had a couple conversations yesterday that make me think, you know what, probably he is going to play against Seattle. Remember on Friday we were saying, don't play him.
I think we were saying play him.
I wasn't. I was saying
I
don't
am.
Play him.
I want to see the guy play.
So after being at camp yesterday, I'm kind of changing my tune on that. I think he will play against Seattle now.
Why just Seattle? Why
the
not?
The last game of the season.
I know,
to get him
but
ready.
Why not Green Bay? Why not Minnesota?
Well, I don't know if he might play in those other games too, but I was like dead set against him playing against Seattle in the last one. And then I was reminded that he played against Kansas City last year in the last one. So I'm like, maybe. You know, so you look at it that way. Bill is in Parma. Hey, Bill, what's up, man?
Hey, great program, you guys.
Thanks. We try to do it every day, 10 to 2.
I know. I've noticed that. I mean, it's great. Question. I believe at many levels. One time I asked an NBA player, don't ask me why I asked him this, on the Cavs, who's the fastest? And the player said, LeBron. I said, who can jump the highest? And this one they had some really skyscrapers. He thought for a minute, he said, LeBron. I said, who's the strongest? And Shaq was on the team at that time. He thought for a second, he said, LeBron. And I said, what isn't he the best at? The reason I asked this question is, what other sport could LeBron play, compete in the Olympics, that you'd give him a year to work out and get ready in? The first thing that comes to my mind.
Now or when he was younger?
Now. Right now.
3-on-3 basketball. I'd give him that in a second. We'd win.
I would give him volleyball.
Yeah. Why not?
If he had concentrated on those things. I wouldn't be surprised if LeBron, had he concentrated on the high jump, could have been a great high jumper or long jumper.
Right.
Had he concentrated on those things. His body's too big now to be either one, but still.
But I find it interesting that this is the type of guy that makes you wonder that if he could have been a decathlete.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Bill, you do. I know. I don't know how long you've lived here, but, you know, he was a standout high school football player at St. V's, too, and then just turned things over. I mean, so he probably – I mean, he was definitely a D1 football player. He had a body for a D1 football player, no matter what, you know. And the numbers.
He ran a lot of deep routes with jump balls thrown up to him.
Yeah.
That was his main pass pattern.
One last question. Would the Dominican Republic have a better world team than the United States now?
In what sport?
Baseball.
Sorry.
Hard to imagine that it wouldn't be an incredibly competitive series, huh? I think you could make the argument that, yeah, maybe.
And is that why we play the World Baseball Classic?
The Dominican has the population of Ohio, basically.
Still able to do it. All right, thoughts on camp. I still want to talk more about training camp, what we saw yesterday, what you might be able to see tomorrow if you want to head out there in the afternoon, and some of the things that were said at camp yesterday. If you didn't hear what Za'Darius Smith said yesterday, you need to check it out and listen to what we're talking about next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. All right, Brown's out in training camp today. The coordinators speak today. If they say anything worthwhile, we're going to come back and we'll play it for you a little bit later in the show. Also, the players and, of course, Kevin Stefanski coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Browns had their first of six dates where you can go as a fan and go watch them at training camp. And as Jeff and I were saying, this isn't your father's training camp. And it's just different. And what's really, I gotta tell you, what's super impressive, Jeff, is that they redid the field house and they put the weight room. We weren't even kind of allowed down there, so I didn't really go down there yesterday. But the weight room is a part of the field house now. They flipped the end zone in the field house so that it's going back towards the street. And they put in this deck, this VIP deck, where people can watch practice from, you're above the field house.
Mm-hmm.
And so
is it on the roof of the field house?
Yeah, or it's even with the roof. It's almost like this big patio.
Cool.
They put up there. It's really I got to tell you, it's impressive. The other thing I think you'll notice is that all of the houses are gone that were on one side of the street. So you walk in towards the main entrance and you look over to the little side street there, and you can see where eventually that street's going to have to.
They're on the Brown side, right?
On the Brown side.
On the practice, the houses were all bought up on the side of the street.
Yes, where
the
practice field is. Somebody was telling me a story yesterday that they knew somebody that lived in one of those houses, and they had the best seat in the house for practice. All of those houses are gone.
Was that guy's name Tomlin?
No.
Oh, okay. Thus a concern.
So you'll notice that. In fact, it's kind of weird. You know, the bridge you take over, you can see the bridge from the field. I never really thought about it. And you see how close the bridge is to the practice facility. Plus, they took out, all the way down to there was a car dealership or an auto repair part of a car dealership that was all the way down the street, too. Mm-hmm. Everything's gone there. Everything's gone. And it's wide open. So, I think the first thing is if you go to the complex, you'll be like, wow, all those houses are gone. There were a lot. It was a hot day yesterday. They only have stands on one side of the field now. On the would be away from that street side would be the other side. What's that, south side of the complex? I could be wrong. It's got to be if the airport's there, that's got to be the south side. So, that's there. The turf look fantastic. I got to tell you, the grounds crew in Berea is outstanding, man. Those guys do a fantastic job. And then I'm just trying to think of anything else that would kind of catch your eye when you first walked in. There weren't that many people there as we've seen in the past. I can't tell you how many times that I've walked into training camp day one and there's just people hooting and hollering and Super Bowl this, Super Bowl that. There was none of that yesterday. I actually think that, and I don't think it's just Kevin, I think NFL coaches aren't big fans of training camp anymore. They just don't want fans.
Fans at training camp. Oh, they love training camp.
Yeah. They're just not.
They don't want it to be a show.
Yeah. I just don't think they're into it anymore.
And honestly, that's too bad because it's the best opportunity for a lot of fans to get an up close look at the team. You know, maybe they can't afford tickets. Maybe they don't want to go on a game day.
Right.
It was a great way to go watch the team and get familiar with the team.
Yeah, so I think the other thing is you got to go online, you got to get your tickets first, even though they're free. I heard tickets were going for $40 or $50 yesterday online for a free ticket that people were coming back and trying. If you wanted to go to camp yesterday, you had to go get them. I was told that story. I don't know if it's true or not. But the other thing that was cool outside of the players and everything else that was going on, so while I think it was Za'Darius Smith was speaking yesterday, maybe it was Za'Darius, maybe it was Jerry Jeudy, the Browns wheeled out a couple of carts, and they were kind of flatbed carts. They wheeled out two of them, and as guests of the morning session, where they were just doing walkthrough stuff, the Bedford Bearcat High School team was there yesterday.
Yeah.
And they were just kind of watching. And so at the end, they brought all those guys together and they were like, hey, you know, we're really proud of you guys, blah, blah, blah. Thanks for coming out. And by the way, and then boom, they take a tarp off of what was on the back of the flatbeds. Brand new helmets for all of them. Bedford helmets.
Cool.
Oh, it was really, really cool to watch that. It was just neat. It was just one of those moments you're like, all right, way to give back. The Browns do a great job giving back. I can't tell you how many times I've been to a high school football field. You're like, oh, this field was donated by the Cleveland Browns. The Browns did this for this high school.
Yeah, they do high school stuff. They're all over it.
They do high school stuff on there. They do a game of the week. They do a lot of things to try to give back to the community as far as high school athletics is concerned. And youth sport. And the flag football thing, the Browns are way behind that. For the girls' flag football stuff, just unbelievable how much they've kind of pushed themselves into that world. They had the championships out at Canton a couple weeks ago. I actually was watching them on the finals, and it took me a minute to realize they were in Canton. They had like the U18, I think it was U18 and U16 finals that I was watching last week. There were a lot of interesting stories that were going on. Za'Darius Smith, though, was there, and Za'Darius set some super lofty goals for what this season could be, and I was kind of taken aback. This would be cut two from Za'Darius Smith.
Sorry. We got unfinished work to do here. Jim Schwartz, second year D coordinator, man. So I get a chance for myself, basically get comfortable in this defense. Just the team period as a whole, man. We can really go to the Super Bowl if we really work hard and put our minds to it this year because we was that close last year. So I feel like we got some unfinished business, man.
I'm telling you, you sat there and you listened to him, and I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think he was being arrogant. I didn't think he was being braggadocious. I didn't think he was like saying something he didn't truly believe in.
It was almost matter of fact.
Yeah, it was like, hey, look how far we made it last year. Look how good this defense can be. You know, not like he was thinking about the playoff game.
We have a shot.
Yeah, and he's right. They do have a shot.
I agree.
But I think we live in this like, uh-oh, we don't have the starting pitching. Uh-oh, maybe we don't have the quarterback. Uh-oh, where are they going to find a three-guard world that we live or a forward? And we sit here and because we're prepared for the worst, I think. We always are as Clevelanders. So that's not the way he sounded yesterday. And the other thing that he said yesterday, there were a couple things that he talked about. They were talking about playing inside or outside, and he's like, I love playing the inside. You know, so when you think about him and Miles on the outside, that's kind of where we are. And as I've said 1,000 times, when they had Double O in and then they brought Za'Darius in, you're like, wow, that's an abundance of defensive ends because Double O could have started. Double O could start every game for the Browns at end. He's that good. But when you build the depth, that you end up with Za'Darius and Miles starting because he's not, I mean, no one's knocking Miles out of his spot. So I thought it was really interesting that he likes to play the inside and just that whole Jim Schwartz flexibility of being able to have guys play multiple positions, especially on that defensive front, which should be, you know, the entire team. I just think those guys set the standard for what other teams can do against us. So, I mean, I know you can look at offense, you can look at defense, you can look at that, but as far as just security, confidence, and what this team is about, to me, it's that defensive front.
I love the depth. I love the skill of the guys on the defensive line, Andy, and it's a Jim Schwartz defense. We know it's predicated on good defensive line play, and so that's essential. I like the versatility there as well. I think it's a big thing for this defense. We all know the D has to improve this year. You know, they were really good in yards allowed, Andy. You know, they led the league in that. But, you know, to me, the one of the biggest keys to defense isn't how many yards you allow. It's is the other team in a position where they need to go down offensively and do something, and can you stop them now? You know, it's almost situational defense. You know, hey, we need a big stop now. Let's get it. Can you get it? All right, good. Then you have a pretty good defense.
Za'Darius talked about a couple other things. One of the things I found this fascinating yesterday, because I don't think a lot of the beat reporters knew this either, that Za'Darius didn't play football until his senior year of high school. But why? Because he was playing basketball. And he was playing AAU basketball. And he said, you know, I traveled the whole world playing AAU basketball. And I was just like, this isn't going to work. this isn't going to work. So his senior year of high school, he's like, you know what? I'm play football. And now look where he is. I mean, you talk about talented athletes. Zadarius Smith, you know, jumps off the page when it comes to that. But I was kind of shocked because I don't think a lot of us knew that he didn't play football until he was a senior in college. He talked about a number of other things, you know, about Myles Garrett and Myles Garrett's attitude and how it's infectious. And you know, Zadarius' attitude is infectious too. I mean, both those guys, man, they're bringing it, and they're bringing it like in a positive way. And no one's bringing us down today, and we're going to do this, and we're going to get better, and we're going to try to, you know, we want to be the best. And then he talked about the backups and talked about second-round pick Mike Hall and gave him lofty goal – or not lofty goals, but they have high expectations for him and compared him to one of the best that we've seen in a long time.
He's different, man. He reminds me of Aaron Donald a little bit. Hopefully he don't see this and try to get to be here. But, nah, man, younger guy, man, wants to learn, man, and just asks a lot of questions. You could see it if you did see when we was there doing 101s, man, he was winning each and every rep. So to have a young guy like that, man, that just want to continue to get better and better each and every day is big for our D-line, man, and happy to have him.
It's impressive to say that about a rookie.
Well, I mean, you're not going to say that unless you see something, because that's a lot to put on a young guy.
Yeah.
that's a really bold statement. Aaron Donald is as good of an interior defensive lineman as the league has seen in, what, in 30, 40 years?
Yes.
You know, he's one of the best. So the fact that he even said that about Michael Hall, thinking that he sees some attributes there, makes me excited about seeing Hall on the field for the Browns. I'm anxious to see him out there. I'm anxious to see how he fits in. And again, I think we're going to continue to see the Browns invest in that position, especially as long as Jim Schwartz is the defensive coordinator here.
I think it all revolves around those guys. You know, we talked about Alex Wright as well. But, you know, for Mike Hall to have that kind of pressure, and then, you know, Zadarius went on to even say, you know what, he's from here. Like, I can't imagine what it's like, you know, to be able to say, hey, here's the team I rooted for my whole life, and now all of a sudden I'm on that team, right? And so, you know, that and Denzel, you know, the two of those guys, they can share that, and not only share that, you know, through, you know, playing high school ball around here, but also playing at Ohio State too, which I think also adds even more pressure, right? But I also think it's a blessing. Like, if you play for the Buckeyes and end up coming up here, you're embraced, right? You're embraced. Like, Ohio State guys, in some ways, they can make more mistakes, I think, than other guys, because no one wants to give up on a Buckeye, I think, that quick. And you know, remember, we used to talk about this all the time with Braylon, because Braylon would always, oh, I'm from Michigan, and people always give me a heart. I thought
that was silly.
I just don't know any real Browns fan that would give a Michigan guy a hard time. They might say, oh, you know, Mason Blue or something like that. But I can't imagine, you know, any true Browns fan giving somebody grief because they played at Michigan and now they play for the Browns. I don't care where you played college ball. I don't. You'll probably get some extra love because you went to Ohio State, or I don't know, let's say you played somewhere else near or close to here. You played at Mount Union. All right, Browns out in training camp today. The coordinators speak today. If they say anything worthwhile, we're going to come back and we'll play it for you a little bit later in the show. Also, the players and, of course, Kevin Stefanski coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Browns had their first of six dates where you can go as a fan and go watch them at training camp. And as Jeff and I were saying, this isn't your father's training camp. And it's just different. And what's really, I gotta tell you, what's super impressive, Jeff, is that they, you know, they redid the field house and they put the weight room. We weren't even kind of allowed down there, so I didn't really go down there yesterday. But the weight room is a part of the field house now. They flipped the end zone in the field house so that it's going back towards the street. And they put in this deck, this VIP deck, where people can watch practice from, like, you're above the field house.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's...
Is it on the roof of the field house?
Yeah, or it's even with the roof. It's almost like this big patio.
Cool.
They put up there. It's really, like, I got to tell you, it's impressive. The other thing I think you'll notice is that all of the houses are gone that were on one side of the street. So you walk in towards the main entrance, and you look over to the little side street there, and you can see where eventually that street's going to have to.
They're on the brown side, right?
On the brown side.
On the practice, the houses were all bought up on the side of the street
where
the
practice field is. Like somebody was telling me a story yesterday that they knew somebody that lived in one of those houses, and they had like the best seat in the house for practice. All of those houses are gone.
Was that guy's name Tomlin?
No.
Oh, okay. Thus a concern.
So you'll notice that. In fact, it's kind of weird. You know, the bridge you take over, you can see the bridge from the field. Like, I never really thought about it. And you see how close the bridge is to the practice facility. Plus, they took out, all the way down to there was a car dealership or an auto repair part of a car dealership that was all the way down the street, too. Mm-hmm. Gone. Like, everything's gone there. Everything's gone. And it's wide open. So, like, I think the first thing is if you go to the complex, you're like, wow, all those houses are gone. There were a lot. It was a hot day yesterday. They only have stands on one side of the field now. On the what would be away from that street side would be the other side. What's that, south side of the complex? I could be wrong. It's got to be if the airport's there, that's got to be like the south side. So, that's there. The turf look fantastic. I got to tell you, the grounds crew in Berea is outstanding, man. Those guys do a fantastic job. And then I'm just trying to think of anything else that would kind of catch your eye when you first walked in. There weren't that many people there as we've seen in the past. I can't tell you how many times that I've walked into training camp day one and there's just people hooting and hollering and Super Bowl this, Super Bowl that. There was none of that yesterday. I actually think that, and I don't think it's just Kevin, I think NFL coaches aren't big fans of training camp anymore. They just don't want fans.
Fans at training camp. Oh, they love training camp.
Yeah. They're just not.
They don't want it to be a show.
Yeah. I just don't think they're into it anymore.
And honestly, that's too bad because it's the best opportunity for a lot of fans to get an up-close look at the team. You know, maybe they can't afford tickets. Maybe they don't want to go on a game day.
Right.
It was a great way to go watch the team and get familiar with the team.
Yeah, so the other thing is you got to go online. You got to get your tickets first, even though they're free. I heard tickets were going for like $40 or $50 yesterday online for a free ticket. That people were coming back and trying. If you wanted to go to camp yesterday, you had to go get them. I was told that story. I don't know if it's true or not. But the other thing that was cool outside of the players and everything else that was going on. So while I think it was Za'Darius Smith was speaking yesterday, maybe it was Za'Darius, maybe it was Jerry Jeudy. The Browns wheeled out a couple of carts, and they were like kind of flatbed carts. They wheeled out two of them. And as guests of the morning session, where they were just doing walkthrough stuff, the Bedford Bearcat High School team was there yesterday.
Yeah.
And they were just kind of watching. And so at the end, they brought all those guys together and they were like, hey, we're really proud of you guys, blah, blah, blah. Thanks for coming out. And by the way, and then boom, they take a tarp off of what was on the back of the flatbeds, brand new helmets for all of them, Bedford helmets.
Cool.
Oh, it was really, really cool to watch that. It was just neat. It was just one of those moments where you're like, all right, way to give back. The Browns do a great job giving back. I can't tell you how many times I've been to a high school football field. You're like, oh, this field was donated by the Cleveland Browns. The Browns did this for this high school.
Yeah, they do high school stuff. They're all over it.
They do high school stuff on there. They do a game of the week. They do a lot of things to try to give back to the community as far as high school athletics is concerned. And youth sport. The flag football thing, the Browns are way behind that. For the girls' flag football stuff, just unbelievable how much they've kind of pushed themselves into that world. They had the championships out at Canton a couple weeks ago. I actually was watching them on the finals, and it took me a minute to realize they were in Canton. They had like the U18, I think it was U18 and U16 finals that I was watching last week. There were a lot of interesting stories that were going on. Za'Darius Smith, though, was there, and Za'Darius set some super lofty goals for what this season could be, and I was kind of taken aback. Here's this would be cut two from Za'Darius Smith.
Sorry. We got unfinished work to do here. Jim Schwartz, second-year D coordinator, man. So I get a chance for myself, basically get comfortable in this defense. Just the team, period, as a whole, man. We can really go to the Super Bowl if we really work hard and put our minds to it this year because we was that close last year. So I feel like we got some unfinished business, man.
I'm telling you, you sat there and you listened to him, and I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think he was being arrogant. I didn't think he was being – braggadocious. I didn't think he was like saying something he didn't truly believe in.
It was almost matter of fact.
Yeah, it was like, hey, look how far we made it last year. Look how good this defense can be. You know, not like he was thinking about the playoff game.
We have a shot.
Yeah, and he's right. They do have a shot.
I agree.
But I think we live in this like, uh-oh, we don't have the starting pitching. Uh-oh, maybe we don't have the quarterback. Uh-oh, where are they going to find a three-guard world that we live or a forward? And we sit here and because we're prepared for the worst. I think we always are as Clevelanders. So that's not the way he sounded yesterday. And the other thing that he said yesterday, there were a couple things that he talked about. They were talking about playing inside or outside, and he's like, I love playing the inside. You know, so when you think about him and Miles on the outside,
yeah,
that's kind of where we are. But and as I've said 1,000 times, when they had double O in and then they brought Zadarius in, you're like, wow, that's an abundance of defensive ends because double O could have started. Double O could start every game for the Browns at end. He's that good. But when you build the depth, that you end up with Zadarius and Miles starting because he's not, I mean, no one's knocking Miles out of his spot. So I thought it was really interesting that he likes to play the inside and just that whole Jim Schwartz flexibility of being able to have guys play multiple positions, especially on that defensive front,
yeah,
which should be, you know, the entire team. I just think those guys set the standard for what other teams can do against us. So, I mean, I know you can look at offense, you can look at defense, you can look at that, but as far as just security, confidence, and what this team is about, to me, it's that defensive front.
I love the depth. I love the skill of the guys on the defensive line, Andy, and it's a Jim Schwartz defense. We know it's predicated on good defensive line play, and so that's essential. And I like the versatility there as well. I think it's a big thing for this defense. We all know the D has to improve this year. You know, they were really good in yards allowed, Andy. You know, they led the league in that. But, you know, to me, the one of the biggest keys to defense isn't how many yards you allow. It's is the other team in a position that where they need to go down offensively and do something, and can you stop them now? You know, it's almost situational defense. You know, hey, we need a big stop now. Let's get it. Can you get it? All right, good. Then you have a pretty good defense.
Zadarius talked about a couple other things. One of the things I found this fascinating yesterday, because I don't think a lot of the beat reporters knew this either, that Zadarius didn't play football until his senior year of high school.
Hmm.
And but why? Because he was playing basketball. And he was playing AAU basketball. And he said, you know, I traveled the whole world playing AAU basketball. And I was just like, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. So his senior year of high school, he's like, you know what? I'm play football. And now look where he is. I mean, you talk about talented athletes. Zadarius Smith, you know, jumps off the page when it comes to that. But I was kind of shocked because I don't think a lot of us knew that he didn't play football until he was a senior in college. He talked about a number of other things, you know, about Myles Garrett and Myles Garrett's attitude and how it's infectious and you know, Zadarius' attitude is infectious, too. I mean, both those guys, man, they're bringing it, and they're bringing it, like, in a positive way, and no one's bringing us down today, and we're going to do this, and we're going to get better, and we're going to try to, you know, we want to be the best. And then he talked about the backups and talked about second-round pick Mike Hall and gave him lofty goal, or not lofty goals, but they have high expectations for him and compared him to one of the best that we've seen in a long time.
He's different, man. He reminds me of Aaron Donald a little bit. Hopefully he don't see this and try to get a big hit. But nah, man, younger guy, man, wants to learn, man, and just asks a lot of questions. You can see it if you did see when we was there doing 101s, man, he was winning each and every rep. So to have a young guy like that, man, that just want to continue to get better and better each and every day is big for our D-line, man, and happy to have him.
It's impressive to say that about a rookie.
Well, I mean, you're not going to say that unless you see something, because that's a lot to put on a young guy.
Yeah.
that's a really bold statement. Aaron Donald is as good of an interior defensive lineman as the league has seen in, what, in 30, 40 years?
Yes.
You know, he's one of the best. So the fact that he even said that about Michael Hall, thinking that he sees some attributes there, makes me excited about seeing Hall on the field for the Browns. I'm anxious to see him out there. I'm anxious to see how he fits in. And again, I think we're going to continue to see the Browns invest in that position, especially as long as Jim Schwartz is the defensive coordinator here.
I think it all revolves around those guys. You know, we talked about Alex Wright as well. But, you know, for Mike Hall to have that kind of pressure, and then, you know, Za'Darius went on to even say, you know what, he's from here. Like, I can't imagine what it's like, you know, to be able to say, hey, here's the team I rooted for my whole life, and now all of a sudden I'm on that team, right? And so, you know, that and Denzel, you know, the two of those guys, they can share that, and not only share that, you know, through, you know, playing high school ball around here, but also playing at Ohio State too, which I think also adds even more pressure, right? But I also think it's a blessing. Like, if you play for the Buckeyes and end up coming up here, you're embraced, right? You're embraced. Like, Ohio State guys, they in some ways, they can make more mistakes, I think, than other guys, because no one wants to give up on a Buckeye, I think, that quick. And you know, remember, we used to talk about this all the time with Braylon, because Braylon would always, oh, I'm from Michigan, and people always give me a heart. I thought
that was silly.
I just don't know any real Browns fan that would give a Michigan guy a hard time. They might say, oh, you know, Mason Blue or something like that. But I can't imagine, you know, any true Browns fan giving somebody grief because they played at Michigan and now they play for the Browns. I don't care where you played college ball. I don't. You'll probably get some extra love because you went to Ohio State, or, I don't know, say you played somewhere else near or close to here. You played at Mount Union or something. But, I mean, I just, that used to always bother me.